And that's me, the host of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for this Friday, January 15th, 2020. It was 10 months ago today that the full force of the COVID-19 pandemic hit. I'll tell you, it seems like a lot longer than that. Not even a full year. The full year will be coming up right around St. Patrick's Day this year. And that news from CBS at the top of the hour that apparently the vaccine rollout, there's just not enough vaccine as originally planned. This is devastating news. So many people just waiting to get a shot. I'll tell you, I'm one of them. So hopefully they'll get that production ramped up. All right, the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. We have worldwide live listening podcasts of my show at buckmastershow.com, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, our media partners. We do a big thank you every Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, so ably manned by Dylan Smith. I think Dylan's anniversary for the Sentinel is coming up later this month. The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications. That includes Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today is with Arizona Senate President Karen Fan, a Republican from the Prescott area. Joining me on the conversation on the other live line today was Senator Fan, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? And how are you, Senator Fan?
I'm doing well. Senator Fan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure always.
First of all, this news now that we've got a shortage of vaccine, how do you think the rollout is going? What are you hearing about the vaccine rollout here in Arizona, Senator Fan?
I will tell you that initially what I heard is that it was a little slow being rolled out, and I believe we've worked through all those kinks right now, and they are actually doing some pretty good record numbers of vaccinations every day now. So that's a good thing, because the more we can get done, the quicker we can get over this, let's hope. We know that at some point that the supply and demand was going to be at this level, so obviously we just need to keep getting those vaccines produced as quickly as possible so we can get those out to everybody.
Let's talk about what's coming up with the inauguration week next week. There have been all these high alert and tightening security warnings at all of the state capitals, including at the Arizona Capitol. What have you heard? I'm sure you've been briefed by Capitol Security and the governor. Is the state capitol going to be secure, Senator Fan?
Yes, and it is. As last Wednesday, when we saw what happened, actually a week ago Wednesday now, when we saw what happened in Washington, D.C., we had our security fencing that went up around the entire campus, which is the House, the Senate, and the Executive Tower. We just needed to be very, very careful that something didn't occur here. We saw what happened last summer when people get upset and they start walking in the streets, so we didn't want a repeat of that. So those have been up at 8 o'clock tonight. The entire complex here will be in, if you will, shutdown, so no member, staff, or anyone is allowed to be here over the weekend, which would be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday because of the holiday. And we are hoping and praying that we don't see any of that, and we expect to be back into session working Tuesday morning.
Will you be working on Inauguration Day at the Capitol?
That's our intention right now, yes.
Tim Steller, join the conversation.
Hello, Senator Fan. You have been involved, of course, quite a bit in the follow-up to the election, issuing subpoenas and that sort of thing. There's one kind of baseline question I'm wondering if you'd answer, and that is, do you believe that Joe Biden won Arizona and overall won the presidential election?
Well, he definitely, according to all the machines, got the majority of the votes, and he did get the electoral vote. So according to our Constitution, yes, he did win.
It sounds like you have some doubt there. What is that right? And if so, what is that doubt?
I wouldn't say doubt. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of questions about the Dominion machines. There's a lot of questions about the integrity of the electoral system, mostly in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia. There's some bigger issues there. Arizona, there's been questions about the Dominion software here. And we have issued subpoenas to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. That is the only county that uses this particular software, and we just want to do a full forensic audit. What I'm hoping and praying that there were no irregularities, particularly enough that would change the election, because I don't want the voters of Arizona to ever doubt the integrity of our electoral system. But I will tell you, if there are substantial problems there, then it is our duty to not only report that that we have a problem here, and we need to fix it.
So you mentioned that there have been questions, and I've seen this dynamic developing on a national level as well, that people say things and they ask questions, and nobody seems to be really judging whether they are good questions or whether they're based on anything. Rather, authorities such as yourself are simply saying, well, people are asking questions, therefore we should ask questions. Are these questions based on anything real? I mean, are people just ginning up doubts in order to try to overturn the election?
It could be part of the latter, but I believe there's a lot of legitimate questions. And I do believe that we have a duty and an obligation to all of our citizens in Arizona. Doesn't matter which party you belong to, or you don't belong to a party at all. If there is any question at all about the integrity of our electoral system, we have a duty and an obligation to get those answers for the constituents, either to prove they're right or prove they're wrong, either way. We should do it. You can't just say, oh, gee, I don't think there's anything there. Go away. We're not going to do that.
So on the subpoenas you mentioned, as I understand it, you issued subpoenas in December, and then they were thrown out. Now you've issued them again. You were to go to court on this on Wednesday because Maricopa County has resisted responding. They've countersued the Senate. Well, so you were to go to court on Wednesday morning, but then you issued new subpoenas Tuesday night. And this is my understanding. The Maricopa County authorities who you all subpoenaed showed up, but nobody from the Senate showed up to meet them, question them, if they had equipment, to take their equipment, anything. It felt kind of like a symbolic gesture that you all made issuing new subpoenas and then not even showing up to receive the response.
Okay, so apparently you either have incorrect information or not all of it. So first of all, the Board of Supervisors actually have been pretty good since day one by saying, we want this audit as well. We absolutely want to do it. Their holdup was, as they said, as long as there were all these pending lawsuits being filed, some by people in state, some by out of state, they felt like they could not do that because it could jeopardize the evidence. You know, if those machines or that software is evidence in a potential court, a lawsuit, they wanted to make sure that they didn't, quote, tamper with it or be accused of tampering with it. So then when we got past that, we felt that there was a point that said, okay, the last lawsuit's over and you're still not giving us this information. Now, in the meantime, please be aware that those subpoenas were issued, 4-plus weeks ago, and they were issued under the 54th legislature. They were issued under my name as Senate President of the 54th legislature and as the Judicial Chairman, Senator Eddie Farnsworth. We are now in the 55th legislature as of last Monday. Senator Farnsworth is no longer a senator. Senator Warren Peterson is now the Jude Chair, and I was reelected as Senate President. So we had to refile subpoenas for the sole purpose of making sure we were still in good standing, because we had already gotten word that the county attorneys were going to try and say, oh, the subpoenas were moot because they were issued under the 54th legislature, And we said, okay, wait a minute, we don't want to lose a step here. So we refiled those subpoenas and had them filed by 5 o'clock Tuesday night before the Wednesday hearing. They were also advised that they did not need to show up here because of the reason why we were doing this, but they elected to show up anyway, just to show good faith that they were going to comply with these subpoenas. We did have our attorney, Greg Jernigan, and a couple of my policy advisors that went down and met with them and asked them, did you bring any of the subpoenaed items? And they said, no, we didn't. And they said, all right, thank you very much. Duly noted that you showed up with none of the information we asked for. So that's the truth on that one.
All right, I want to switch gears here to talk a little bit about lawmakers from Arizona who were at the Capitol for the demonstration. I don't know if they were what their intent was when they went to the Capitol. Is there any kind of investigation into state lawmakers who were at the Capitol riot?
Good question. Let me say first and foremost that what happened in Washington, D.C. was absolutely an abomination. It should never be tolerated by any reason for any person. And so whoever was involved absolutely needs to be held accountable for whatever part they may have had in it, if they did something illegally. This is no different than all the demands of last summer when we saw the Antifa and the BLM. This is just as bad as that. You do not do that, and you do not destroy property or cause harm to somebody else. Now, as far as people here in Arizona, it is my understanding that there were only two legislators that physically attended. One of them is actually an ex-legislator now, was not reelected, so we have no jurisdiction over that person. The other one is elected here, but it appears that he was not even in that position nor went in. So if the FBI or somebody has questions about that, they should follow up with that. But as far as now, remember, it's a House person, so I'm in the Senate. I have no jurisdiction over him in the House. But if there was some wrongdoing, then Speaker Bowers has the right to look into it. If there's not, then he was just exercising his freedom of speech and attending what he thought was a peaceful rally and was not a part of all the shenanigans that happened after that.
And we're talking about Representative Mark Finchem. And Tim, you wrote a column about all of this. You want to follow up on this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think, of course, Senator Fenn's right. She doesn't have any jurisdiction
right
over Representative Finchem. I think the bigger or the broader question is about there's a question about crimes committed on that day at the U.S. Capitol, but then there's a broader question of abuse of one's office, from my point of view, to spread probably lies. I mean, I would say Finchem is obviously not alone in that regard. I would think that the most pronounced one in the Senate it would probably be Wendy Rogers, who just came in as a senator from the Flagstaff area, and then of course there's Kelly Townsend as well. And I don't know how you're going to deal with that. I'm not saying that there's any discipline or anything to be done for spreading lies, Senator Fam, but that you've got really conflicting opinions within your caucus, and there are people who are radicalized, such as Rogers and Townsend, and then there's other people who are more cautious, such as yourself, who are pursuing, you know, audits, but not, you know, true believers. How are you going to deal with that kind of diversity on such a volatile issue?
Well, thank you for that question. So this is politics. You guys have been in the business a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this happens on both sides of the aisle, if you will. We see, you know, we have extremism on the left and we have extremism on the right. Usually the other 90% of everybody else falls somewhere in between that. You know, this is one of the great things about America. We have our freedom of speech. We have the opportunity and the rights to our own opinions. opinions, whether they be right, wrong, or anywhere in between. So I am not going to shut down somebody's freedom of speech if that's what they truly believe in. Now, as the Senate president and as a body here of representing both R's and D's alike, I do prefer them, please, you know, you're welcome to your freedom of speech, but, you know, let's double check our facts. Let's try and be respectful of others when we do this. But I'm not going to shut down their freedom of speech. I will not do that.
All right, Tim, I need to take a break right here, and Senator Fan, stick around. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit first about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. I'm in a mood for one of those giant blueberry muffins right about now. Think I will definitely be going by Mona's, certainly tomorrow morning, for one of those muffins. Open at breakfast, weekends, and every weekday at 6:30, and of course, lunch going on right now. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, their website. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios with the Senate President, Karen Fan, and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. We'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on this Friday. On our live line, we have Senate President Karen Fan with us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Senator Fan talking with us from the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix. Also on the live line, Tim Steller, longtime columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. So here we are, Senator Fan, 1 week into the session. What's the top priority that this legislature needs to accomplish as far as you're concerned, Senator Fan?
Good question. Obviously, I think it's going to be COVID-19, right? That concerns all of us, and it's a nonpartisan issue, so it should concern all of us. We have got to get our hospitality industry back up and going. We've got to get everybody back to work safely. We've got to get, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the vaccinations need to get out there and get everybody back to school. The kids are just suffering dramatically from all this long-distance learning, online learning. So that's our number one priority. Number two is obviously budget. That is the one thing that the legislative body is required to do, which is important. We need to get that done and settled just in case we have to call sine die early again or have to go into recess because of COVID. It's important we make sure that that's all in place just in case so that people will still get their unemployment and Medicare and Medicaid and all those things that government does provide. So those are important. The next is probably the liability bill, the COVID liability. We want to make sure that everybody, businesses, institutions, schools, government, everybody is doing their best to promote and enact safe practices around COVID. But I also want to make sure that they should not be subject to frivolous lawsuits of people trying to file suits and saying that they contacted COVID somewhere where they probably couldn't even prove it anyway. So we want to make sure that we start protecting all that, and that will help get the economy back up again. Go ahead.
I was just saying, what a challenging session this is going to be. Can you give us a feel for how much of it will be virtual, how much will be in person? I mean, it's a very, very difficult road.
It is. Now, we're limiting personal. You cannot come here to the Capitol unless you have an appointment to see a senator or a staff member. We're just trying to keep that down to a minimum, at least for these first few weeks, as we're going through this huge spike right now. But obviously, if you need to come in and see your senator or something, please do. Zoom, we are Zooming everything. And, you know, we've had challenges with members or staff members as well as Senate members here. Speaker Bowers has a little more of a problem over there, but, you know, we do have some that either can't wear a mask or won't wear a mask. And so we have set it up here in the Senate that they can do everything from their office. They can vote from there. They can participate from their committee meetings. And then on the public side, those committee meetings, we've got it set up that we can handle 300 people Zooming at one time. If you'll just go on to the RTS system and sign in there, you can either sign in and just leave your comments like normal, like we've always done, or there's a place where you can actually say, I would like to participate via Zoom, and I would like to testify. And we do that 24 hours ahead of time. As you know, logistics, we've got to get all that together, but that allows for full transparency for everyone to be able to still be a part of everything that's going on down here.
Will bills be voted on remotely, and is that even legal, Senator Fan?
So from the committee, those will be voted on from their offices. We are looking at the third read right now. The rules that we have in place, I have allowed for that temporarily. We have full security members and measures. And yes, we have checked on this, and we do believe we are fine in safe ground. I've been working with a lot of other states to see what they've done and how they've handled it. So, yeah, but full security members, and it's going to be for a very, very short temporary period of time until we can get everybody back in here safely.
All right, let's bring our friend Tim Steller back into our conversation from the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Tim.
Hello, Senator. I have been kind of curious with all the needs that we've been developing this year during the pandemic, why the state hasn't used its economic means, and I'm speaking here of the Rainy Day Fund and more of the CARES Act money to address some of the problems. As I understand it, there's about $1 billion still sitting there, and the businesses have been closing, people are suffering. Is this not a rainy day for us to use that fund?
No, it's not. And part of the reason is the billions of federal monies that have come in, and most of that has already been dispersed to help businesses, schools, to help everybody keep going through this as much as possible. The remaining monies that are allowed in the CARES Act, we are saving that, and we're dispersing that roughly every week, 2 weeks, to backfill the unemployment fund. As you know, the federal government, they did extend the unemployment monies, the subsidies, so everybody will still not only get the Arizona portion, but this extra $300. And then, of course, that stimulus package that was also put out there, with possibly another one coming, those stipends of $1,200+ for people that they're all talking about. So that's all still going on. We do not need to touch that rainy day fund right now. And the reason why, not only do we not need to do it, but we don't want to do it, because what's going to happen if this turns out to be even more long-term? Please, God, I hope not. But if it does, and there's no more CARES Act money, we may need that 6 months or a year from now. If you don't know exactly what's on the horizon, you know, just don't spend all your savings until you know what's coming up down the pike. So, but our economy is doing pretty good. Unfortunately, the hospitality industry has just taken the worst hit of it, and we know that people need, you know, there's still a lot out of work, out of jobs. But in the big picture, construction's up 20%. The retail sales are actually up because of passing the Wayfair a couple of years ago. We're collecting all of that on online sales tax now. So that's why we are going to be able to fully fund the education, plus add money to it, plus a lot of the other things we've been wanting to do, just because Arizona economy is actually doing better than most states right now.
The education piece. Oh, Tim, did you have a follow-up? Or?
Well, yeah, I just had a couple of quick fire questions I wondered if I could put past.
Of course. Go ahead.
Sure. So, well, you live in Prescott, of course, which is part of CD4, if I'm not mistaken. Would you consider running for Congress, either if the seat is empty, if Paul Gosar leaves the seat, or even potentially primarying him, considering that he is potentially implicated in this riot in D.C.?
If you're asking me the day, my answer is absolutely no. After I saw what happened in D.C., it's boy, when you want to talk about a swamp, it has really turned into a swamp.
So you would not run today for CD4?
No, as of today, I have absolutely no intention of running for Congress.
And what about the state of the Arizona GOP? You've got a race coming up for the chair of the Arizona GOP, where Kelly Ward has been pursuing pretty eyebrow-raising rhetoric and such lately. Do you have a favorite for that position, AZGOP chair, or something that you would like to happen with the state party?
Well, my personal opinion, and I think this is true of many Republicans, our hope is whoever is our next chair is someone that understands the big tent theory, that we're all citizens of Arizona. We are, we all have kids, families. We worry about public safety. We worry about security. We worry about our jobs, our economy, education, all of those things. And just because everybody doesn't think exactly alike, then it doesn't mean that we should be bullying other people or pushing them out of the party, out of that tent. So whoever is our next chair, I am hoping that they will view that point as it's better for us to work together and do what's best for everybody in Arizona than to segregate each other, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have an individual favorite that you have endorsed or you would like to win in that race, in that GOP chair race?
Not yet. Okay. Actually, I have not even had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Letteri yet, so it's hard for me to have a favorite until I actually have a one-on-one with each of them.
What is your personal opinion about President Trump? Does he have any kind of political future, in your opinion, Karen Fan?
Well, first and foremost, let me say, and I know some of your listeners probably aren't going to like what I'm about to say, but what I am going to say is President Trump has done some pretty amazing things for the last 4 years. People may not like his tweets. They may not like the way he carries himself sometimes and some of the rhetoric that goes on in politics in general. But you have to admit, he has done some pretty amazing things with our economy. You know, we have never seen the stock market this high ever. You know, he's trying to protect our border while we want to make sure that we always have good relationships with our partners to the south. We do want to make sure that we don't have human trafficking and drugs and things like that coming across, and that was important to him. I think he has secured the United States from a lot of things that have gone on in the past, whether it's Russia, China, or somebody else, and try to rebuild those relationships in a solid way. So there's a lot of really, really good stuff that he has done. The sad thing is that it's very sad that he is leaving the Oval Office under these conditions, under what happened last Wednesday. It really does detract away from all the great things that have been accomplished.
Yeah, because you know the way history will probably write that's going to be, if not in the first paragraph when you start talking about legacies, it's going to be right there near the top, correct?
Yes, that's correct, and that's why it is so sad.
Tim, a quick follow or anything left that's on your agenda before I wrap it up?
There's one loose end I had. I wrote last month about the tip line that you set up for tips about election irregularities. Most of the people who wrote in were angry at you or making fun of you, that kind of thing. But there were some sincere emails sincerely about the election claiming fraud or what have you. Did anything come out of that? Anything real as far as you know?
Thank you for asking. We are still working on that. So, yes, you are correct. As far as the tip line, I am very sorry to say that 95% of everything we got was anywhere from pornography to very strong language to you guys are all a bunch of crazy people. There were a few legitimate ones, which we are following up on. In addition, since then, we've also had a number of people that have come forward. As a matter of fact, I have a three-ring binder right here on my desk that I'm working with of people that have come forward with affidavits saying this is what I observed, this and that and the other. And that goes back to what I said before. We owe and we have a responsibility to everybody to answer their questions. And if they thought that they saw something that was improper, I want to make sure I get an answer for them to explain what they saw or and help them all understand exactly where we're at with this.
All right, Senator Karen Fann, thank you very much. Stay safe up there at the Capitol, and we'll see how this session progresses. Thank you very much for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Senate President Karen Fann with us on The Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I've asked Tim Steller to stick around for our next segment, a couple of items that I have in front of me that I want Tim to address. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. We'll be right back with Tim.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
All righty, then. We continue in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. Our thanks to Senate President Karen Fan and Tim Steller, who is sticking around for our segment three today, our one-on-one with Tim. Tim, Senator Fan addressed a couple of items that were prominently mentioned in your political notebook today in the Star.
Yes, we brought up the election in the Arizona GOP. I wrote about it from the perspective of a local man who is running for the chair of the AZ GOP, which is named Sergio Arellano. You may have heard of him. He was a candidate once for the GOP nomination for CD1, and he's just been around. He's been a man around in politics, in Republican politics, for quite a few years now. And he is trying to make that play that that Fan said she was looking for, which is for a Republican Party that doesn't that includes lots of voices and doesn't try to throw people out as rhinos and that sort of thing.
And the other candidate is the current treasurer of the Republican Party. This is a very interesting situation in Arizona about how this party is going to now evolve in the post-Donald Trump era, and some have even referred to it as kind of a civil war that's going on within the GOP in Arizona.
Yep, it really is hard to see how they will be able to reconcile with each other. Doug Ducey, for example, has been in open conflict with Kelly Ward, the chair, the current chair. Kelly, you know, there are censure resolutions for Cindy McCain, that is for the GOP to censure Cindy McCain, Doug Ducey, and one other person I can't remember. But the long story short is they're trying to purify the party and make it so that only the most avid pro-Trumpers are, to carry the name Republican. And it's just not a way forward for them. But they've worked themselves into this position by believing and telling numerous lies about the election. And you could hear it, and every time I read what Senator Fan says about the election, you can hear her trying to bridge that gap. You know, she's trying to be someone who gives voice to those true believers who are certain that the election was stolen, while also staying kind of somewhat attached to the facts and ensuring that, that she raises the questions without answering them. Let me put it that way.
Well, and of course, she's thinking, I'm sure, about her political future. And you brought up a very direct question, which was interesting, that she right now said she, there's no way she feel, after what she saw at the Capitol, the national Capitol, that she would be willing to run for Congress. I thought that was kind of an interesting remark.
So, yeah, I didn't fully understand that. Was your understanding that she was saying that she didn't want to be there because it's so nasty, or was she saying that that had something to do with not wanting to run against Paul Gosar?
No, no. My understanding was, and perhaps I'm wrong, but from what I heard, was that she didn't want anything a part of going back to Washington right now because the environment is so nasty. That's how it.
Right. I mean, but you can only change it if you confront it, and that's the thing that a lot of the Republicans are unwilling to do. Those who have, from my point of view, enabled the president with his totalitarian actions and statements, throughout, this is the result of it. So I can't make her run for Congress, and I wouldn't demand that, but I would like somebody who is attached to reality to either run against Paul Gosar or to make it clear to him that he's going to get beat if he runs again. I mean, I would love, Paul Gosar, we haven't even talked about it in this show, but obviously he's implicated in the run-up to this riot, attempted insurrection. He has no regrets, as far as I can tell, and is following the party line of blaming any violence on Antifa. I mean, this is a guy who is completely detached from reality. He has no business being in Congress. And there are many Republicans in that congressional district who would be much better. And I'm talking about Trump supporters. Karen Fan would be one of them. These are people who Republicans would support, but who aren't out in la-la land in their thinking. But what we've got is Gosar.
Tim, then there was the matter, and she addressed it. Of course, Representative Fincham is not in the Senate, and she is the Senate president. But it will be interesting to see if there's any kind of follow-up about, well, first of all, did he ever, there's no proof he ever crossed police lines, correct?
Correct. He has denied he did that.
Right.
However, there's a major gap in his story. And frankly, it's implausible. He said he showed up for a speaking engagement at, if I remember the time correctly, around 1:45. And that he was later told that the engagement was off, and then he left, and that he didn't learn of the violence until about 5 o'clock that day. So we've got a gap from about 1:45, or let's say 1:50, to about 5 o'clock, where we have no idea what he did, and where he claims he didn't even know that there was this insurrection at the Capitol. I find that completely implausible.
We do have to say, Tim, that, there's no proof. And he, as an American citizen, he has a right to go and be at a protest if he didn't cross the police lines.
Yeah, but that's not the end of it. I mean, he's been building this for months. I mean, he's been he's been building the insurrection himself, as has Gosar and as has Biggs. So while, they may or may not have behaved illegally on the scene at that moment, and certainly they have the right to be in public property, there's a whole greater realm of responsibility, which is for building up this event and for, from my perspective, telling gross, big lies that led to the insurrection. So it's not just a question of illegality for me. That's why I wrote that he should resign or be recalled.
And there is a movement now to recall him.
Yes, it has not formally started. They haven't like pulled the papers yet to start gathering signatures, but I expect that'll happen in the next week or so.
All right, let's switch from politics. Well, I guess this is political, the vaccine. We've got to get away, get this thing moving, Tim Steller, getting this vaccine into people's arms.
Yeah, there are so many complications. And, you know, they've set up these one, I guess it's going to be two stadium sites in Phoenix. I mean, I don't know. It's not the best solution. At least it is getting people vaccinated. But you know, there are a lot of places. I've been talking to people in Santa Cruz County, Cochise County today. And, you know, they have major issues. Santa Cruz County, I learned today, will not be done with Category 1B, which is, you know, teachers, people over 75, law enforcement. They won't be done with that category for 6 months.
What?
At the current rate. At the current rate of getting vaccine allocations. Now, we can assume that the rate will increase, but the fact is that shows that they just don't have the quantity they need. And so there's some anger building in places outside of Phoenix that, hey, you know, that we need it all around the state. I'm assuming that they are truly allocating on a proportional basis and that people in Phoenix maybe have the hard time too, but it's really noticeable in these rural counties where people live farther apart.
I keep looking at these numbers today. Again, they're just off the charts on the COVID. And I guess this is still that holiday spike, huh?
Yeah, although I've noticed that the peak in cases for several days, the peak day in our recent run of cases has been January 4th. Mm. And it's been going down since then. And I'm just, you know, I don't dare to hope practically, but I have a vague sensation that maybe we'll end up being able to look back on that day or those days as when the most cases happened. And also hospitalizations have been slightly going down the last few days. That is the number of inpatients with COVID. So, you know, we're in a terrible shape right now. Don't get me wrong, but I've been looking for signs of a peak, and I'm just really hoping that it has happened.
Boy, I hope so too. What are you writing about for your paper, for the column and the Star Sunday?
Yeah, I'm mulling over some stuff related to protests, the event in D.C. last week, the protests after the George Floyd murder this summer, and Martin Luther King and nonviolence and civil disobedience. I haven't quite got the point yet, but I think there's something to be said there.
Well, maybe something from Senator Fan's conversation will help in the process today. Hope so for
I
you.
Hope.
All right. Tim, thank you very much for being on the show today. Hope you have a great weekend, and as usual, the best to your family. Stay safe.
Thank you. Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. He always has a lot of opinions. Well, we would expect he would, because that's what he does. He's an opinion writer for the Arizona Daily Star. We'll take our break right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt Russell is next.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now for later in 2021 when everything will be open again, and we're praying that day is coming very soon so you can enjoy the land of enchantment, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the place to go for all your planning of great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now the longtime host, award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell, who is the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. Mr. Russell, how are you, sir?
Well, you know, it's a flirting with 70 degrees on a Friday afternoon in January. Does that answer your question?
There you go. And
great.
And I'll tell you, after 2.5 hours in the dental chair yesterday, I'm ready to talk about food today.
Let's do it. You know, can you believe it? There's another new restaurant opening this week. Now, this one is particularly newsworthy because it combines the talents of two celebrity tastemakers into a single concept. We're talking local baking legend Don Guerra of Barrio Bread and Chef Carlota Flores of El Charro. They've teamed up to open Barrio Charro, which is kind of a deli-style eatery featuring sandwiches and other goodies at their Prince and Campbell location. Now, Bill, one of the biggest headlines I've seen so far is their tortamanos, which are essentially sandwiches made with Azteca bread and stuffed with various proteins like carne asada with avocado and queso Oaxaca. Sounds perfect for grab and go as well. Barrio Charro is open for business.
Is there a reopening you want to tell us about?
Yeah, you know, earlier this year, you might remember, I reported on the opening of Tucson's newest swanky cocktail lounge on 4th Avenue called Portal. But just weeks after they opened, they had to close to pandemic-related restrictions. But fans of the swank are rejoicing this week because Portal's doors are open again with house COVID rules in place. You'll love this menu because it features old-school classics as well as modern expressions. I say enjoy a creative cocktail this weekend at Portal.
Is the Coronet open downtown?
You better believe it. And this Sunday and every Sunday, the Coronet, which you'll recall is now in the space that used to be the Cushing Street Bar and Grill downtown, they're showcasing their magnificent patio and live and local entertainment to accompany your sipping and snacking. It's Patio Sunday, and from 5 to 7, the Gabriel Naim Amor Trio will perform while you sit back and enjoy the scene while enjoying these aforementioned warmer temps. You can start with some light starters and then move into something a little bit more substantial, like their lamb meatballs with tomato curry. It sounds like a party on the patio this Sunday at the Coronet.
Let's do it. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, it is my annual year in review column that features my top 10 stories of 2020 that are ranked by readers' digital engagement, the likes, the clicks, the shares, etc. So what stories resonated most with our readers? They are revealed in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
We will look forward to it. Have a great weekend. Go Buffalo Bills, huh?
Oh, right on. Bills Mafia, baby.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music by Chris Devon. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer producer Tom Fairbanks. The entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us wish you a very safe and pleasant 3-day weekend for most of us. Have a great one.